Good morning. Looking back over my life, one of my fondest childhood memories involves swimming lessons with my grandfather. My Grandy was one of those people who turned every single interaction into a learning experience. Whether it was staying after practice to watch the next level, learning how to be aware of snakes in the grass, or in the case of today's story, learning the finer details of proper swimming, no opportunity was lost on my Grandy. My brother and I were fortunate enough to have a pool in our backyard and a grandfather who missed the Olympics in swimming by 1/100th of a second. So our introduction to swimming was being thrown into the pool, then onto floating and doggy paddle, and learning the formal strokes. Muscle memory was the name of the game, and so we swam quite a bit. But then one day, we had an extra special surprise, a field trip of sorts. We went to my Grandy's best friend's woodworking shop. We got to lie down on plywood and have our arms traced, and then those arms were cut out. Neato. But when we got home, we realized that we were on to another level of swimming. Those wooden arms were taped around our arms, and we were instructed to swim again. Well, at first, swimming with those wooden arms was challenging. Our arms couldn't move the way they once had. We were forced into the proper form, and we were learning to feel the power of pulling through the water with closed fingers. We swam this way until our muscles had truly memorized the proper form. When we graduated from those wooden swimming arms, we automatically went into the right form on our own, and it felt natural, and no longer felt like we were being constrained by tape and wood. We were just swimming, and we were swimming well. Well, when I think about those wooden swimming arms, I'm reminded of Jesus' words in John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. As I've grown, I have been surprised by just how many of those Grandy lessons have carried meaningful correlations to the broader aspects of my life. It seems he knew more than I realized when enduring those childhood lessons. To me, those muscle memory experiences can be much like abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ involves living in a close and loving relationship with him. It means we live according to his teachings and commandments, and we draw strength from his presence. A life spent abiding with Christ requires intentionality and faithful practice. To be clear, though, we don't earn our place in God's family through spiritual effort. We begin with grace. Christ saves us long before we learn to swim. But once we belong to him, he begins shaping us into the people who move through life differently. Before Christ, we may be staying afloat, but we're not swimming as we were created to swim. We make decisions based on instinct, culture, ambition, fear, or comfort, rather than a growing relationship with Jesus. Throughout the scriptures, we can read different passages that depict a life without Christ. For example, in Romans 8, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on fleshly desires. Or in 1 Corinthians, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned, and many more. As we grow from floating to treading water to doggy paddle, we begin discovering who Jesus is. Through the witness of others, worship, scripture, and the work of the Holy Spirit, we find ourselves wanting more. We want to know him better. We want to spend time with him. We want our lives to reflect the life of Christ. But the goal here is not becoming a better branch. The goal is staying connected to the vine. Jesus did not say, "Work harder for me." Jesus said, "Remain in me." Eventually, following Jesus stops being merely inspiring and starts to become transformational. This is the wooden arms stage of discipleship. At first, there may be aspects of this relationship and pursuit of Jesus that feel unnatural. We may feel ourselves fighting against the boundaries and encouragements of Christ in lieu of what our life has learned previously as normal. Even just shifting our motivations for the choices that we make requires some adjustments. As children, that might look like being friends with kids who are often left out, or noticing when someone is always picked last and picking them first when given the chance. As teens, it could be saying no to social situations where you know risky behaviors will be taking place. As adults, it may be living with integrity, even when the opportunity for self-advancement in an inopportune way becomes available. Or maybe even more simply, it's modifying seemingly benign behaviors that take away our time with Christ, like that quick check on social media that leads to an hour or more of doom scrolling. Guilty. Or coming home exhausted from a day of work or play and finding rest in Netflix instead of scripture or worship. Take your pick of the cultural pools that we face day in and day out. Those old patterns don't disappear overnight. Even as we grow in Christ, they can still tug at us and tempt us back to our familiar ways of living. Jesus speaks to this in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke when he says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Or in Romans 12, when Paul says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Slowly, and often so gradually that we hardly notice it, our patterns begin to lose their grip as Christ reshapes our hearts. Those wooden arms of faith practices and the intentionality with which we strive to deepen our relationship with Jesus make more sense. In the same way moving through the water began to feel different, the way we move through life feels a bit different too. Paul in 1 Timothy 4 says, "Have nothing to do with godless myths or old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe." So how will we know when we are laboring and striving for spiritual growth? Jesus says that branches connected to the vine bear fruit. So what kind of fruit should we expect to see? Well, as Christ changes our hearts, that change doesn't stay private. It affects how we treat neighbors, how we respond to injustice, and how we use our influence in the world. Where once we were quick to anger, we may be more patient. Where once we were filled with anxiousness, we may feel peace. We may notice our hearts have softened to groups of people to whom we previously felt indifference. We may notice that we have a desire to serve in ways that we had not previously considered. We may realize that we have a burden and an urge to take bold and courageous action, like Jesus did when he stood strong against societal norms. Where once we stood silent as people groups were oppressed around us, we may now find ourselves fighting for justice. Where once we stood in judgment of outcasts, we may find ourselves reminded of Jesus and the woman at the well, dropping our rocks, or maybe even going that step further and fighting for systemic changes on behalf of those people groups. Where once we were focused on growing wealth for ourselves and our children and grandchildren, We may be embracing opportunities to live generously in the here and now. We may not see shocking and overtly obvious ways of change in our lives, but I do believe that we will begin to see the fruits of our relationship with the Almighty. And now, back to the pool and the wooden arms. Our muscles have now memorized the proper swimming movements, and it's time to take those wooden arms off. We enter the water again, and our resistance to the motion is no longer there. We have confidence in our stroke, and we can feel the difference as we move smoothly through the water. But we cannot allow ourselves to become complacent or comfortable in our progress. We have to continue to swim, continue to practice, continue to grow, continue to encourage our muscles to remember the movements we've learned and to grow stronger within those movements. This is the time in our faith when we dig even deeper. We remember that initial desire to abide with Christ. We continue to strengthen our spiritual muscles. We take the step to claim with confidence and boldness Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. We relinquish ourselves to Him. We get to continue practicing the spiritual disciplines of scripture reading, prayer, worship, service, generosity, and more. And along the way, we'll be able to look back over our lives and see that our spiritual muscles have grown too. We'll be able to look back and see how our lives are being transformed into the likeness of Christ. No longer borrowing from our childhood faith, we surrender our former way of living and pursue the call God places before us to live as Christ Himself modeled for us, and the importance of remaining rooted in God our Creator with the Holy Spirit as our sustainer. Spiritual growth is God's grace shaping our spiritual muscle memory. The branch bears fruit because it's connected to the vine. The swimmer moves confidently because the motions have become a part of who they are. And in the same way, when we abide in Christ day after day and year after year, His life begins to flow through ours. We find ourselves becoming more patient, more loving, more generous, and more courageous. Not because we are trying harder, but because we are remaining closer. Let's pray together. Gracious God, as Paul said, may the glorious riches of Christ strengthen us with the power through His Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray that we, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. One beautiful thing about swimming lessons is that nobody starts in the deep end as an expert. Everyone starts somewhere, and the same is true in our Christian life. So no matter where you are in your faith journey today, whether having just been thrown into the pool, learning to doggy paddle, wearing those wooden swimming arms, or practicing without them, God is inviting you to take the next step. So if you would like to come forward as we sing hymn 68 to claim Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, or to claim this church fellowship as yours through membership, you're invited to come.